Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, we're going quick hitter today, folks. Not that anyone should be surprised. It's Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to you all. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today, your playoff head-to-head streaming edition. I am Dan Bespris, at Dan Bespris over on Twitter. I know one, just one of you, maybe only one, actually, this time of year, is a new viewer or listener, so welcome. Happy to have you. Please take a moment, everybody, to like, rate, and subscribe as we immediately dive into the meat of today's show, and that is, what should you be doing with your roster if you have a weekly roster move left here as the week wraps up? First things first, who's got a bad schedule today? It's March 31st. We're rolling into next week. The bad schedules today belong to kind of nobody. There really isn't a team that has a schedule that's that much worse than anyone else. Milwaukee is kind of the closest because they're off today and tomorrow. But then they go right back into a back-to-back after that. So yes, if you badly need to try to squeeze something out of the next 2 days, it's the Bucks. But there really isn't an obvious choice for who to drop. Which gives you a little bit of, maybe opportunity. Because if you need to drop someone today, it can be somebody who's just not that good and isn't playing today. Look for anybody on your team that's not playing today and is also not particularly good at fantasy basketball. Because this is a time of year where you might have some guys on your team that aren't that good. Guys that had a good schedule, but weren't putting up much in the way of fantasy stats. Or someone who's hurt. That's obviously the other choice. If somebody's hurt and you don't know when they're coming back, if it's, you know, it's a day-to-day thing, maybe they miss a game, maybe they miss two, that's an opportunity to maybe get off the bad schedule. Good schedules give you a few choices today. You actually have quite a few, actually. There's the best of the best, which is still not that outstanding, but pretty good. Brooklyn and Charlotte go back-to-back today and tomorrow, Sunday into Monday of next week. Plus, they play Wednesday. Plus, they play Friday, but Friday's kind of a meh, as you guys know. It's an overload day next week, as is Sunday. So if you're going Brooklyn-Charlotte, you probably go 4 days, get your 3 games in 4 nights. After Wednesday, you make a move. You want to get somebody playing on Thursday and preferably Saturday of next week. That's when you'd make that next option or next pivot. Also, a decent schedule, but not great. Chicago, they go back-to-back today and tomorrow, but then it's bad after that. They have 3 days off, so that's very much a two-day option. And then you've got this sort of cluster of other teams. Cleveland, the Cavaliers, the Lakers, the Wolves, Oklahoma City, Thunder, the Raptors, and the Wizards. All of those teams play today, and then they're off tomorrow, and then go into a back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. So it's 3 games in 4 nights, but it doesn't give you that, what's the Rob Pelinka term, that optionality to get off of them after 2 days the way that Brooklyn and Charlotte do. Because, again, with the Nets and the Hornets, they go back-to-back, and then you could hold for the game on Wednesday if you want to, but you have the option of dropping earlier for those teams I just mentioned. Again, it's Cleveland, the Lakers, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Toronto, and Washington. If you pick up someone on those teams today, you basically have to hold through Wednesday because then you get their better part. Otherwise, you're getting 1 game out of 2 days instead of 3 games in 4 days. That's where things pick up. So those are your good schedules coming up. You've already got, as I mentioned, no real obvious bad schedule team to deal with. And so then that, I guess, takes us right immediately into who on those teams is the reasonable pickup.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Luckily, with that many teams, you've got choices. Not a ton on Brooklyn. Dorian Finney-Smith is probably the only low-rostered guy that would make sense as an ad there. I'm assuming the four dudes that are putting up numbers right now are already on rosters for the Brooklyn Nets, meaning Mikal Bridges, Nicholas Claxton, Cam Thomas, and then Dennis Schroeder would be one that probably is on rosters. Their schedule is fine this week. They've gone every other day. So again, probably on a roster. Dorian Finney-Smith is someone that might very well not be. Hornets, you probably got a few more options. Charlotte, their schedule was also fine this week, but I've seen lots of Trey Mann and Vasily Micic and Grant Williams bouncing around on waiver wires. I've seen Nick Richards bouncing around on waiver wires. These are not guys that are going to blow the roof off the building. They each are kind of specialists in their own way, with the exception of Mann, who's maybe a little bit better than that. But it, by and large, these guys are specialist-level dudes, which is, I mean, those are guys that pop up on waiver wires because sometimes teams just don't need what those guys provide, which is nice because you got all these 125 to 150 range dudes that are available now to give you three games in four nights, and all of those guys make sense as possible adds, specifically if you need the stats that they're providing, but just kind of overall, the Hornets have a lot of choices. The Bulls for the back-to-back, the only real option there is Andre Drummond. You are going to really badly need rebounds to make that move because, again, you're going to have to make another one on Tuesday. Cavaliers, Max Strus. My fear, of course, is that he doesn't play in the back-to-back on Tuesday, Wednesday. But overall, he's putting up decent numbers since he's come back. George Niang, if you need some three-pointers. Caris LeVert, if he plays, that's something you're going to have to sit on. He's listed as probable. So the assumption is that he's going, but you can't make that move until you know for sure. And then when you do, now that he's going to put up big numbers with Donovan Mitchell around, but you never know, people might rest again for the Cavs on that back-to-back next week, and that might be an opportunity for him to get kind of two blech games and one better one. For the Lakers, Rui Hachimura is the obvious choice there. Spencer Dinwiddie would be kind of the next one, although Gabe Vincent is due back for the Lakers today in Brooklyn. I don't expect him to play more than about 15, 16 minutes. If that, Dinwiddie's kind of taken Gabe's job to some degree. Although, you know, we'll see how the Lakers deploy those guys. Vincent, they're kind of repeated in terms of what they provide. So we'll see. I don't know that I would extend myself to any of the guards on the Lakers, but Dinwiddie is the one I would go to over Vincent if you're really hard-pressed for whatever it is that that dude provides. For the Wolves, the only name that I think pops up here that's decent enough would be Kyle Anderson, slow-mo. I don't think I would go Nickeil Alexander-Walker there unless we found somebody that was going to be out for Minnesota. The options really thin fast after that. Jaden McDaniels, I guess, would also make sense if he's on the wire. Probably should have thought of him in the tweet that I sent out yesterday. Jaden McDaniels, if he's on the wire, he would fit there. For the Thunder, Lu Dort, Josh Giddey has been the stream with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out. Sounds like Shai's got upgraded about an hour ago from doubtful to questionable. And when guys get upgraded from doubtful to questionable, I tend to think they're going to play. So I'm thinking we probably see SGA today. They're in New York. Nobody wants to miss the game at Madison Square Garden. But Dort and Giddey would be the sort of fringe-level guys on the Thunder. Raptors, Gary Trent, Kelly Olynyk, possibly Grady Dick. I don't like his fantasy game very much, but he'll probably do enough here given the better schedule. And then for the Wizards, it's Kispert, it's Bagley. And if Rashawn Holmes is back, it would be Rashawn Holmes. Those are kind of your three choices on the Wizards. Yes, I think that someone on Washington probably sits out that back-to-back next week. It's that someone is probably Kyle Kuzma. Again, so keep an eye on things. That would give a lot of these guys a bump. It might even give a Baldwin a bump, and you know there might be some other choices in there. But on the other 2 days in this 3 and 4, those guys aren't going to do very much. That's why I didn't put them on the list as possible solutions to your streaming needs problem on the Washington Wizards. No questions in the chat room this morning because it's Easter Sunday. Everybody's got their own stuff going on. So I think we can keep this one to about 10 minutes, this super fast quick hitter edition. I'm going to try to do this, folks, for one more week. I'm not going to do this, I don't believe, on the last week of the regular season. I simply don't believe that there's enough streaming that you need to do there. You're basically just trying to cover up any guys that are resting and get as many healthy bodies into your lineup as possible. So this is the last week we're going to be doing these streaming shows. For the final week of the season, we will do a weekly preview show. So that'll probably be either a week from today or a week from tomorrow. But it won't be two every single day. It's just like, first of all, I'm running out of gas on it. But second of all, I don't think it's helpful, because picking up these fringe streamers is sort of dumb when 15 guys are going to get ruled out at 2 in the afternoon and you're going to have a bunch of other dudes you could probably pick up on a whim. Basically, that last week, you're just waiting until the last second. And I pray your head-to-head league isn't even going to that last week. Even Yahoo's public leagues are smart enough to wipe out the last 1 week of the season, even though they should wipe out the last 4. I thought it was 3. It needs to be 4. Things got nuts 3.5 weeks from the end of the season. So next year, we got to wipe out the last 4 weeks, which sucks because you're wiping a month now out of the damn season. But you got to have a fair head-to-head playoffs. And right now, it's really not fair the way that head-to-head playoffs go. The fact that we have to do all of these things right now that we talk about on these streaming shows is nuts, because guys are just in, guys are out. Teams at the top of the board resting guys. Boston's resting guys here and there. Denver's resting guys here and there. Like, you're seeing it on both ends, the tank teams and the teams near the top. The only way to win a head-to-head league is to have players on the teams fighting for the last playoff spots. You need to have guys on, like, the 5 through the 11 seeds in each conference, or you're doomed. If your superstars aren't on those teams, they might not play. Sorry. Luckily, a lot of the really good players are on those teams. So, like, you know, AD's trying to play through a knee injury, and the Clippers guys are going, and the Mavs guys are going, the Suns guys are going. So at least he got a few. Still sucks. Still think y'all should play Roto. But I'm doing these shows despite that. So, you know, you're welcome. Harley asks, who's the ad tonight in Utah? Well, Lauri Markkanen got ruled out for the season, basically. He said he was going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but spoiler alert, the season is over in 2 weeks. So it's probably Taylor Hendricks, I would think. Yeah, that's probably about as far as I'd go there. Jess says, I'm down by 52 points. I got 8 players versus their 9. You think I win? No, sadly, I wish. Yeah, I mean, things happen in these head-to-head playoffs. I'm in a head-to-head playoff match that I thought I was going to win, but my opponent is shooting 51.3% for the week and 83% at the foul line. And so if I lose both percentages, there's just, I got no prayer in that one. I probably then lose 5-4. If I could have won one of the two percentages, I probably would have won that league. But, you know, it is what it is. And I lost another head-to-head league that I was winning field goal percent until the last day. And then Jalen Duren, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I'm going to remember this until next year. Jalen Duren and Nikola Jokic combined to shoot like 7 out of 20 on that last Sunday. And I was like, oh, great, I got my 2 field goal percent guys. I'm going to lock this thing in. And I lost it. Sometimes I just want to lose my mind. Such as head-to-head, though. You can do everything right and still lose. And it's why I like Roto so much more. If you do everything right in Roto, you might not get first place, but you're probably going to win money, because the top 3 pay out in fantasy in Yahoo public leagues. Some names for a desperate stream in rebounds and threes in a 16-team league. Dorian Finney-Smith. Grant Williams, if there, these guys are probably on rosters already. Niang. Grady Dick. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how deep you guys got to go. Hopefully one of those names that I popped up. Dorian Finney-Smith or Trey Mann in a points league? Give me Trey Mann. Give me that across-the-board floor that's always kind of useful. Thanks for coming out of the woodwork with some questions at the last second here. Extended the show to a robust 15 minutes now. All right, everybody, enjoy your Easter. Go find some eggs filled with chocolate. Nature's finest production. Or a peep. These things are gross. Also, am I a bad person for saying I don't really like Cadbury eggs? I just like finding prizes. People are always like, oh, you're Jewish, Dan. You must not care about Easter. Hell no, man. Everybody loves finding an egg filled with candy. I don't care what temple you go to, what house of worship. If you don't like an egg filled with candy, you gotta get out of my stream. All right, everybody. Have a great Sunday. Have a very happy Easter. Good luck with your matchups. We'll see you soon.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.